and welcome back to THC. Thank you for coming back after 2 weeks of me being gone. Appreciate it. But I'm here now, and you're never going to have to hear me talk to myself again, because today I have Casey with me. Hi, Casey.
Hello.
And then next week, we start with our co-host. And I don't know, maybe by the time this episode's released, I'll reveal who that is. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll keep it a surprise till the episode comes out. But I'm really excited to get started with her. But anyway, I'm just going to jump right into it. Today, we're talking about the Dyatlov pass incident, however you want to say it. Before we get there, just don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Truly High Crime. Don't forget to leave a rating and leave a review, because they make me happy to read. But that's it. Anyway, moving forward, Casey and I today are talking about the Dyatlov pass incident. We're in January 1959 in Russia. So these are all Russian names. They're all Russian cities. I'm not going to pronounce these things right. Just warning you all, it's going to be wrong. Sorry. So this man, this 23-year-old guy, his name is Igor Dyatlov. He was a radio engineering student. He was a genius. He was really smart. He had made radios that were like used in different like missions in the Russian like wilderness. So he was really smart, and he had a very promising future. And he was a student, and he wanted to go hiking, and he just like was tired of school. He wanted to take a group of people, and he just wanted to go hiking. And his mom was like, what the fuck? Like, you're about to finish school. Like, just do your thesis. Like, can you not do this right now? Can you do this after you're done with school? And he was like, no, mom, like, I want to go hiking. Like, I feel like any 23-year-old man would be like, no, mom, I'm going to take the time off to go hiking. Like, is that how, like, when you asked your mom, like, mom, I'm going hiking.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, see ya.
Just leave me alone. I'm going hiking, mom. So he did. He didn't give a fuck. And he went, and he was like, I just want one last fun hiking trip with my friends before I have to get into the real world. And it ended up being his very last hiking trip, because Igor and 8 other frozen bodies were found in really fucking weird places, in really fucking weird conditions, with really weird injuries that just left the world wondering what the hell happened up on that mountain. So they took off. There was a group of Igor and originally 9 others, but one of them ended up going home. But their names, okay, I'm gonna say this all wrong. Their names were Lyudmila Dubinina, Yuri Krivonashenko, this one's easy, Yuri Yudin, Rustam Slobodin, Alexander Kolovatov, Simon, but it looks like Seaman, Zolotarov, Yuri Doroshenko.
A lot of Yuris.
A lot of Yuris and a lot of, like, Doroshenko, like the Shenko sound.
Uh-huh.
Zenadia, which is an amazingly beautiful name. Zenadia, I love it. Kolmogorova, Nikolay, okay, this is the last one. And Nikolay Thibo. No, I don't think they say TH. I don't think they use the TH sound. So I think it'd be Thibo Brignol, but then it's like the N-O-L-L-E. So I think it's like a Brignoya. Like, I think it's like a harsh Russian okay. sound that I don't know how to make, because I am
Beats
not
me.
Russian. But those were their names. And
Ludmila was the only girl.
No.
So is Zenadia.
Zenadia is also a girl.
And the rest were men.
I think. Almost okay. positive.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I'm almost positive there's only 2.
I can imagine Seaman as a woman.
Yeah, Seaman's a man. And I love the way Alexander is spelled with a K. I think Alexander, it just flows. I think
yeah.
that's so... Part of it gives me school shooter vibes, and part of it is really cool. I can't decide.
Well, I think we just... Nikolai. Is it Nikolai or Nikolai?
I think it's Nikolai.
Okay.
But also Nikolai.
Okay.
They're both school shooter names.
Yeah.
No offense.
It's a little scary.
Yeah. But anyway, they were going on this, all 8 of these people. That took probably longer than it should have, but those were difficult names. And they were going on this trip. They were going up the peak of the Oraton Mountain. And they were all experienced hikers, and they were all experienced skiers. Like, they had done stuff like this before multiple times. They were all going on this trip. They were all grad students, and they were all going on this trip because if they completed it, then they could become a higher ranking of skiers. So, like, it was kind of just like a cool thing for them to do, but it was also like something that they could rank up and move forward with their lives. So this trip was expected to take about 3 weeks total, and Igor promised. I don't know what the fuck a telegram is.
I do.
Okay.
Alexander Graham Bell. That's probably not right.
I thought he invented the telephone. Maybe he... Well, what is a telegram?
It's the tapping kind of thing, I'm pretty sure.
I thought that was Morse code.
No, I don't believe so. No, I think it's... I don't really know, but I don't know how to explain it, but, like, it was between, you, like, you could send it to one another, and it was instant, and it was kind of like...
So he could be up on a mountain and send a telegram?
I believe so.
How?
I don't know.
That seems more advanced than what we have now.
I know.
I don't really get, maybe if somebody laid it out to us, like, we were 6 years old, it would make sense, but that's never happened, and I don't get it, so to me... It seems futuristic. Anyway, Igor promised that when they made it to the peak of the mountain, he would send a telegram to the ski lodge and, like, let them know that they were okay and, like, yada, yada, yada. And that was expected to be around February 12th, but that was just an estimation. Like, that was just, like, we think we'll get there around February 12th, but we have no idea. It could be the 10th. It could be the 14th. It could be, like, just around that time. Just so let's keep in mind here that it is the dead of winter in the mountains in Russia.
Why did they go in that? Like, I don't understand.
That's another question that I had too. Like, they're just go, like, I mean, they wanted to ski, but like,
I don't feel like it needs to be January in Russia in order to ski.
Right. Like, they had to wait until May later for the snow to melt. So, yeah. Like, they had all that time. They could have gone, like, March, April. Because the average temperatures were around -4 degrees to 5 degrees Fahrenheit at its very warmest. Like, it didn't get much warmer than 5 degrees Fahrenheit.
And, like,
plus it gets
cold. It gets kind of that cold here sometimes, too. And, like...
It's intolerable. Hurts. It's like painful to be outside, especially with the wind chill. And like, there'll be pictures on my Instagram and we'll look at pictures later of like how windy it was. You can tell like with the trees blowing, with the snow blowing, they had little visibility. Like it was a really weird time for them to go. I think it was maybe just because they weren't in school. Like, I
don't know. I probably wouldn't do it, but that's just me.
I definitely wouldn't do it.
I mean, I get they're Russian, so like maybe that's just like their winter to them, but still. Like, that's still your body can't survive no matter what. And I was even trying to look at
this map. I was like, where the fuck were they? Like, they were just up in the middle of nowhere, nothing around except for, like, the native people. Just, it's scary. And, like, to go, yeah, it just terrified me. But for them, it was, like, nothing. So, they also all kept super detailed diaries, and they took pictures. They all were, like, really into their diaries. They wrote everything down and they took really high quality, like high definition pictures. I don't know how they were that high def because the camera was found like a long time later and they still were really, they're good pictures, especially for 1959. But because of all these diaries and because of all the pictures, the researchers and the investigators were able to put it together like pretty easily of like what happened and what day they ultimately went missing and maybe a little crazy. The translating of the diaries, though, is a little sloppy because just the broken language and, like, translating back and forth from language to language and dialects. So, it is a little bit messy. So, January 23rd is when the group finished up preparing for their hike. They rode some trains to get to the start of the hike, and they were just having, like, a really good time. Like, they were just college students on a trip, honestly. Like, they were just, like, singing and having a good time. They all talked about how much they loved having, like, deep conversations, and they were all getting really close with each other. And they sang. They said they sang every single second of every single minute, which sounds like a fucking headache.
Yeah, like, no thank you.
Yeah, and at one point, they were arrested... Not arrested. They got in trouble with the police for, quote, disturbing the peace on a train because they were all singing and everybody else was like, oh my God, please shut the fuck up. And they wouldn't stop singing.
Yeah.
So they were like the equivalent of drama kids going to Waffle House.
Exactly.
Like, that's just the vibes that I got. This was a quote from one of their journals. While traveling, we sang songs and discussed various topics like love, friendship, cancer, illness, and cures. It just, the range in that, like, she just starts with love and friendship, and then they're curing cancer right away. I was like, damn, girl.
0 to 100.
I'd go off. So, on January 26th, one of the hikers, I think it was Yuri Yudin, got sick. He, like, had problems, like, pain problems in his leg, and they just started flaring up. He was like, I don't think this is going to be good for me, so I'm going to head out, but, like, you guys still do it, which ended up saving his life, but he probably has some regret because, like, all of his friends died. And yeah, he didn't. But, like...
What are you gonna do?
Good for him. You either kill yourself or get killed.
It's not like he could have done anything to stop them from dying.
Right. Like, he would have died if he were with them. So, it's like... January 26th was also the last day that anybody had heard from any of the hikers. Igor sent his dad a postcard just telling him that they were about to take off for their real, actual hike. Because up until this point, they were just, like, riding trains and, like, being with the locals and trying to get to the point where the hike started. Because they were that out in the middle of fucking nowhere. So... January 27th is when the hikers take off on their journey, and they talk about how perfect the weather is, how it's going to be, like, perfect conditions. They're really excited, and they have a good friendship with, like, all of the locals, and they all are getting along, and, like, life is good for them. And they heard people singing, quote, illegal prison songs, which I don't really know what that means. Russia seems to be an interesting place. I don't know that much about Russian culture. Don't want to talk on things I don't know, but good for them. But they loved hearing those songs, and they were just having a good trip, and, like, they were just making, like, good, awesome memories that college kids make when they go on trips. Like, it was just a good time. So January 29th, they keep hiking and things are going well, but then by January 31st, this is when things kind of just become unwell. It gets really, really windy, it gets really cold, and it gets super duper snowy, and they're like, we have no visibility, we don't really, like, want to keep working through this, we want to stop, but we need to get to a certain point in order to make time. And, like, it's just a really hard time. And in their diary, their group diary that they kept, they said, quote, walking is especially hard today. We can't see the trail. We have to grope our way through at times, and we can't do more than about 1 mile per hour. So, like, I don't know, hiking up a mountain, how many miles you usually go per hour. When you were hiking, how much, like, what was your average?
3 to 4.
Okay. And that's, like, on average terrain. Like,
yeah. Going uphill too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they probably average, if they were saying that, like, 1 mile per hour was a low, I'm guessing they would probably go, like, 2 to 3 miles per hour. Seems rough.
Especially. He's wearing skis in this picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think they would have their skis on and, like, do the thing, like, where they'd, like, poke them in the ground and pull themselves forward. Because I think that's the only way they could get through a lot of the conditions. Like, I think a lot of the time they were going, like, super duper uphill, and they wouldn't be able to get traction in the snow, so they would have to do that. But also on this night, it was, like, freezing, and they did not have any firewood. So they were just, like, not on a great path at this point. And it was also, like... You're only a couple days into your hike. Why don't you have firewood? Isn't that something that they would have prepared for?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, if it was going to be snowy and rainy and wet.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, I guess I would take some. But, like, also, they didn't have... Did they have lighters back then?
I don't know.
That you would just, like, take on a casual hike?
I don't know.
Or are they matches? Because matches suck.
Matches do suck. And, like... I have no idea. So, and I don't know, like, this is gonna sound stupid as fuck, but, like, could they, if they didn't have firewood, they couldn't, like, boil water, they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, interesting.
And, like, warm themselves up at all. I don't know if they had, like, I don't know the electricity at the time, or, like, what we had at the time. Did they have little heaters or anything?
They could have carried, like, oil lamps, I guess, but, like, that doesn't really, I mean, that does some heat, but, like, not enough to keep you warm in the middle of Russia, I would assume.
Right. And, like, they had one, I think they were sharing one tent, so, like, they had each other's body heat when they were in the tent, and, like, I feel like that's not enough. Yeah. And, like, there's just a lot of weird stuff. So the next day, it's February 1st, they were hit with a huge snowstorm and just really high winds. It was messy situation, and there was really bad visibility issues, and they lost their sense of direction. They had no idea, like, what way they were walking, and because they had fucked up visibility, they just kind of got lost and didn't know where they were, but they knew they weren't in the right place.
Were they using maps? You probably don't know.
I don't know. So I think they had maps on them. But I don't know.
Like, I wonder if it's already a trail that was marked of sorts.
I think there, it was, like, kind of a trail. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, like, probably unmarked at times, and it was just kind of, like, hope for the best.
Yeah.
And, like, know from landmarks which way you're going. But when the visibility is so bad from the wind, you can't see certain landmarks, or, like, you mistake certain landmarks, especially if they've never been there.
And I would assume they wouldn't have a compass, because they would have taken it out, you would think, right?
You would think.
And know that they were going
the... going the wrong way.
But if they were experienced hikers, they should have... I mean, granted, I don't carry a compass, but I'm also not... I wouldn't call myself experienced, but most people don't carry a compass nowadays.
There are so many questions about this because none of it makes sense, and I don't know. Like, I don't know if they had...
But, like, in 1959, I definitely carry a compass.
Yeah. And a map.
Right? Yeah.
Like, at all times, I feel like. It would be, like, no-brainer I'd have it on me. But this day, they got lost, and they knew they were in the wrong spot, but they actually had ended up moving away from the mountain that they wanted to climb, and they were on another mountain, which had graciously been given the name Dead Mountain by the native people who live there. So... they just, it was an unlucky mountain to them, like, in their folklore. They seemed like amazing people. They just do shrooms, and they live in the mountains, and I love them.
Okay.
Yeah. They kind of get some dirt thrown on their name later, but we're going to talk about it because they don't deserve it, and we love the Manzi people. So, they're on Dead Mountain, and Igor's like, you know what? Just so we don't lose the progress that we made, they made it uphill pretty far, and now they just had to go, like, either east or west. Like, they didn't have to go up anymore. And so, they're like, we've made it up pretty far. Let's just set up camp here, and... figure it out tomorrow when the weather's better. So that's what they did. And they set up camp. And that's really all we know for sure, because that is when the diaries stop. And nobody was really worried at first because they were expecting to hear from them on February 12th. But they knew that they kind of had shitty weather conditions. And that was just an estimated date. So they were like, they could be a couple days late. They could be a couple more days late than we're anticipating. But by the 17th and the 18th and the 19th, when nobody had heard from them, they were like, all right, some shit's happening here. Something's not right. So their families were trying to get the police or just somebody to go search for them, but nobody would. And they finally fucking, they had to like beg to go get somebody to search for them. Finally, on February 20th, somebody went out. But first, we're going to take a quick smoke break because we need it, because it is a messy scene that they find. So we'll be right back. So, whoa, my voice almost gave out there.
Hello.
Anyway, so when no one had heard anything, by the 20th, a search party was formed just to like hike through the mountains and look for them on February 20th. And note that this was just a team of volunteers and like hikers and skiers, no police, no anything. It was just a group of people, but they couldn't find shit. So eventually, the police and the army got involved in the search, and they still couldn't find anything. And it wasn't until 6 days later, six days from when they started searching, when they found their campsite, but not the campers. And they were like, hold the fuck up, because this campsite looks a little weird. There are just some things that don't look right. And the time that had passed and like the weather that was on top of it, they kind of realized that they were looking for bodies and they weren't looking for hikers anymore, especially if they weren't with their campsite.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably not alive anymore. So that was kind of a harsh realization. But also the scene at the campsite was just, like I said, all around fucking weird. The tent was really battered, but it was all still there. And so were all of the campers' things, like their food and their clothes and their shoes and like their hats, gloves, scarves, the things that you need to survive outside. So those were left behind. And so wherever they are, they don't have clothes, they don't have shoes. And their tent had been set up almost kind of like they abandoned it, but like left all their things. Like there was a plate of pork out that they were about to eat. And it looked like they were, it was sliced, like they were about to dig in and have their dinner. But then there was a slice from the inside of the tent. Like they sliced open the tent from the inside to escape it. Like they had to get out of there right the fuck then. It was like so urgent.
Maybe some of them were about to eat and some were already sleeping. Or some were already in the tent, like getting dressed or undressed.
But why would they cut it open from the inside? Why couldn't, like, they could just zip it? If they need to get out.
No, I definitely agree with that. But
like, that's what the zipper's for. Like, they are, like, something urgent, like, had to have happened because, I mean, if some of them were sleeping, don't you think it'd be, like, an urgent, like, wake up, we gotta get out of here, like, go, go, go? Or do you think they'd leave them behind?
I don't know.
Because they seem to be good friends. But, like, they also didn't really know each other before the trip. They bonded on the trip. And so, like, if there was some dire emergency where they were like, we gotta get the fuck out of here, and it was like,
then they,
if they wake up, they wake up. And if not, we're going. So they just tore their way out of the tent. And there were footprints outside of the tent. But the weird thing about the footprints, one of the many weird thing about the footprints, was that they weren't chaotic running around. They were single file. They were not like rushed, wild, like these people were freaked out, like you'd think they would be, because they just cut out of their tent.
Right.
They were just a single file line, and none of them had shoes on, or they only had one shoe on, or they had socks on, or they were completely barefoot. So, and these footprints went on for like 1600 feet. Like, they kind of went on for a long time.
Away from the campsite.
Away from the campsite, yeah. In a very orderly way, the entire way up into this like wooded area. So that's when the footprints stop. And
are they like six, how many was it?
1600 feet.
No, but like how many people? Six?
There was eight of them.
So was it like eight different nine all around? Like, was it a bunch of different
footprints? Yes, they all knew around? It was eight or nine different pairs of footprints. They knew that for sure.
But all still kind of in a sorts of a single file line.
And yes, a very organized direction. Uh-huh. Like, they were just walking towards the woods. Like, they just like had to get out, and they were doing it very like orderly. And just walked like 1,500 feet up into the wood lines. And so researchers are like, what the fuck? Like, what happened here? Like, why do they have to get out so urgently? But why weren't they running? And it all just kind of went back to like one question. Why did they cut out of the tent? So they estimated that it was at least -4 degrees out that night, plus the wind chill. So they were really, really struggling. It was cold, and they left behind all their warm clothes and anything that they could use to survive outside, except for Mr. Seaman Simon Zolotarev, who decided to bring his camera with him. Of all mm-hmm. things, was able to grab his camera. And it's weird. A lot of people get stuck on it. Like, out of everything that you could have taken with you, maybe they saw something or they thought something so crazy was happening that they had to have their camera with them. And, like, he just wanted to get a picture of what was happening. Maybe he knew he wasn't going to survive it, but he wanted to photograph it or something. But, like, why not take a jacket with you or your shoes? Like, odd choice to me.
Yeah. But like we said, maybe he was already one that was clothed.
Yeah.
And if you're a camera person, you're a camera person. Yeah. You're going to take your camera.
That's true. I feel like especially in the 50s when you were like, oh my God.
If something's happening.
Yeah. Like, we got to take a picture of it. Because maybe they heard something and they were like, got to get out. Got to go take a picture of it. So they walk up to the woods. The investigators are like, what the fuck? They leave it at that for that night. And the next day, they take a search team out into the woods. And it doesn't take long. And they start to find the remains. They first find the remains of Yuri Krivonishenko and Yura Doroshenko. Both men were wearing nothing except their underwear and socks. They were completely naked.
Interesting.
And their hands were just completely fucked. They were, like, scarred. They were described as, like, stumps. Like, bloody stumps. Huh. Like, they had nothing left to them. Like, they had really kind of been through it.
Ew.
And there was also human flesh and human DNA found on the tree next to them. Like, maybe they had tried to climb the tree to get away from something. At this time, like, DNA, like, they didn't know if it was their DNA. They mm-hmm. couldn't test it. But probably, because who else's human DNA would just be on a tree in the right. middle of Russian woods? So that is just eerie to think about. And like I said, they were naked. And it's also important to note that they had been, like, outside in the elements for, like, at least a week. Animals could have gotten to them. And it was clear that they had died of hypothermia, but, like, why were they naked? Like, why did that happen? So
if they were sleeping naked, like, that video we watched said they were sleeping, they may have been sleeping naked or only in their underwear.
Yeah, but why?
Why?
It's -5 degrees out. Exactly. So
you're not going to sleep naked in a tent. I don't care how many people are in there for body heat.
Me either. There's two explanations that make sense about this. However, I'm trying to say, you know what I'm trying to say? There's two explanations. There's one, it's called paradoxical undressing, and it's when you have hypothermia. Mm-hmm. And instead of feeling like you're really cold, you feel like you are on fire.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the opposite. Like, your nerves are reacting so much that you just feel like you're on fire. So you just strip naked. And so that could have been what happened. Or after they died, the other hikers took their clothes and wore their clothes to try to keep warm.
Okay.
Which I think is probably more than likely what happened. It probably didn't take long for them to die out there. Like, that's kind of really a fucked up to like say, yeah. but like it probably did not take long at all. They were found next to like a small makeshift campfire. Like they had really tried to build a fire and stay alive, but it probably didn't last long. And I think they probably died pretty quickly. And then the others were like, okay, we'll just take their clothes and try to keep warm.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, the later bodies were found wearing the clothes of the other people. So I think this is what happened. But it was really weird to researchers at first, because they were like, or like when the investigators found the bodies, they were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I wonder like what order it happened in, like the hypothermia, the hands, and then the clothes stealing, right. or clothes stealing, hypothermia, or hands. Or were they
like, you guys are gonna die, so can we just take your clothes anyway? Like, what a crazy sacrifice to have to be in. Like, yeah. So the next four bodies were found. They were clothed this time, but they weren't really in any better conditions. First, Igor was found, Mr. Igor Dyatlov. He was dressed, but he was barefoot, so not fun. And he was laying face down in the snow and hugging a branch. And I just fucking got like shivers on my spine, because you know that feeling when you walk outside in the winter and you have to step in the snow and you don't have shoes on,
mm-hmm.
and it is so cold on your feet, and that just like
to have your whole face in it.
Yeah, and he doesn't have shoes on, so however far he walked 1600 feet without shoes on.
It hurts. And then when you they start to get warm, it hurts even more.
It hurts so bad. And like he walked that 1600 feet. He walked into the woods. How long was he
hugging a branch?
He was probably just fucking like, kill me. Like, that's so miserable. And just even stepping outside, having to be barefoot in the snow sucks. Like, Zenadia was found near him. And from how her body was positioned, it kind of looked like she was like really frantically running, trying to get back to the campsite. So these bodies were found like in the direction heading back towards the campsite. Like maybe they had gone back to try to either salvage the campsite or get their clothes, get some things to like warm themselves up, but they didn't make it there. So her hands were also in really bad shape, just like the others. They were just kind of like stumps, and she had scratches all over her face. But that could have been both from the animals. Like, their hands and her scratches on her face could have been from animals in the wilderness.
But, like, you also have to think what animals would eat. Hands. And only hands.
Yeah. I don't know.
No animal's gonna go for, the boniest part of your bone. Yeah. But there's probably not that many bugs in Russia. It's so cold.
You're right. It's so,
you know,
gross.
There's just better parts of a body to eat.
They wouldn't just go for hands. That's true.
That'd be like going for your head. That's why skulls are always left behind.
Yeah, it almost feels like their hands were like attacked. Like, mm-hmm. their hands were targeted.
So like it said she was basically frozen?
Mm-hmm. Like, she pretty much
as she was running?
Froze, yeah. Like, I think essentially what happened is she was just running up the hill and maybe her body gave out. Uh-huh. Like, maybe she was running on adrenaline, she could have been, and then it just kind of died. Like, I don't really know science. I don't know how bodies work, but I kind of feel like when you have such an adrenaline rush like that and you're just trying to fucking make it back and your body is about to give up on you, you could probably run for, like, 30 seconds before you die. Like,
yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Maybe like, she fell or something.
Yeah,
even.
And then it was just it. Like, her body was that weak. Because they all had hypothermia and they all were frostbitten severely. Like, none of them had shoes on. They were very lightly clothed. Like, it was bad. So, next, Rustem was found about a week later. It took about a week for them to find him. And he had a severely fractured skull. It was really bad. And it was like a 6-inch fracture deep into his skull. But his death was still ruled as hypothermia and frostbite. And when the word got out about this, everybody was like, oh, it's kind of weird because it doesn't really sound like it to me. He was dressed a lot better than everybody else. He was wearing a shirt and a sweater. He was wearing 2 pairs of pants, 4 pairs of socks, but he only had 1 boot. So some of these clothes could have been from the other campers. He could have been dressed when they left the tent. But I think a lot of these clothes came from the other camper, and he had a watch on, and it stopped at 8:45. That's just so creepy to me. It's a watch, so it's like, it doesn't.
Oh.
Like, it's, yeah. Oh. Yeah. So it's like 8:45, and then it just stops. Like, that's a great movie scene to just watch the
Yeah.
The clock stopped.
This would be a good movie overall.
It's the movie Frozen. Do you remember that movie?
The one we watched?
We would watch that as children.
Yeah.
That movie was so fucked up. And the other movie, the animated movie Frozen, comes up later. But if you guys have never seen it, this movie is called Frozen. It came out. Let me Google it real quick. Because it was like these people on a skiing lift just, they got like stuck. Like the...
It stopped and like it got stuck and the resort closed or something.
Yeah, like for the weekend, and it was like freezing outside. Yeah, it came out in 2010. And like I think some of them die, and then like some of them die, but
well, the one guy jumps off, breaks both of his legs, and then gets eaten by wolves.
Yeah, and they all watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second guy,
so fucked up,
also jumps off.
One of them, I just have a very vivid memory.
Of getting frostbite on their cheek.
Maybe it was their cheek, maybe it was a hand, but it was like stuck on the bar.
Oh yeah, and they pulled it off.
And they had to pull their hand off of the bar. Oh, I remember like throwing up after we watched that movie. But anyway, it was loosely based on this. And there also is a movie. It's called Diet Love Pass movie. Devil's Pass.
Okay,
We should watch it. Yeah, we should watch it. I'm totally down.
But okay, so they say that his death was ruled by hypothermia. I kind of believe that because if his skull was fractured, there would be blood. And if there's blood in the snow, wouldn't it show up vibrantly? This is going to sound really gross.
That's what we're here for.
But what if he had died of hypothermia and completely froze? And then something came and fractured his skull and his blood was frozen.
Yeah.
So it didn't come out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a very fair guess. But I do think I remember reading, and this could be wrong, but I think I remember reading that the injury happened before he died. I think I remember reading that. So okay. It was like, it wasn't the cause of his death. Like maybe his cause of death wasn't hypothermia or was hypothermia. But he still had this fracture. Like, what happened? Like, did he get in a fight with something? Like, what happened to cause this fracture before he died? Even if it didn't kill him.
I wonder, like, maybe you know. What the forestry was like around there?
So the area that their bodies were found in was dense woods.
Okay.
So
he could have like ran into a tree or whatever, but he would have had been going pretty fast, I would assume.
Yes. And the area that their campsite was no trees at all. Okay. Like the dense trees were a very isolated area of trees. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks because if they would have just kept walking that 1500 meters when they initially set up their campsite, and they would have set up in the trees, they would have been more protected from the elements if they would have put their tent in there, and they probably would have been okay. So if they would have just walked a little bit further. Yeah. You always have that hindsight bias. But so they found, what was his name? So they found Rustem, but that was really it for a couple months. The rest of the group hadn't been found. There was 4 people left and there was a huge search team, but they really just had nothing. They had to wait for the snow to melt because the conditions were just too rough up there. And when the snow melted, they did find the rest of the campers. And they were buried under about 15 feet of snow, like deep in a ravine that then like in the spring and summertime was like a creek. Like it was like running water.
All 4 of them were found together?
And very near each other.
Okay.
Yeah. And their injuries and the condition that they were found in did not line up with hypothermia or frostbite. They had some fatal injuries and they had bizarre, wild, weird ass fucking injuries that we are going to talk about after this quick smoke break. I'm not sure what you guys are smoking, but I love chillaxing and smoking some CBD. And I also love buying new things to smoke my CBD from. The issue is that nice glass is expensive and I am a picky bitch, like I'm sure you are too. But the good news is I am partnering with an online shop called I Sell Glass to get you 20% off your purchase. Get yourself something new. You freaking deserve it. Go to isellglass.shop and use the offer code TRULYHIGHCRIME for 20% off your purchase. That is isellglass.shop and use the offer code TRULYHIGHCRIME at checkout for 20% off of your purchase. Of course, you have to be at least 18 and of legal age to smoke in your area, and these pieces are for legal substances only. So if you're looking for something new or even just a little gift, make sure you go to isellglass.shop and use the offer code TRULYHIGHCRIME for 20% off your entire purchase. So now, we have gone to April or May of 1959. I found things that have both dates, so I'm just saying April or May of 1959. A couple months later, they find Nikolai Nicolet. He was fully clothed, but he was buried under feet of snow with really significant skull damage that had to have happened in a few moments before he died. He had a fractured jaw and he was just straight up in like bad condition. He looked really, really gross. There's like pictures of this all, like there's like pictures of their bodies that like I had to look at. So if you're into stuff like that and you want to see how bad a condition they were in, you can look, but like it's really gross. So then after that, they found Simon Seaman and he was missing his eyeballs. He had a deep fracture in his skull. His chest had been so compressed that his ribs had all shattered, and it was compared to the force of a car crash. So this man kind of like went through it, and the autopsy said that he, quote, died as a result of violence. So like not good things happened to these people. This was not a good group. Things were not good for them. Alexander didn't have any fatal injuries, so he ended up, like, his cause of death was hypothermia, but he was not in good shape at all. He had, like, a really weird bend in his neck that, like, almost looked, like, unnatural. Like, it was, like, very, like, unhuman. Like, it looked like, how the fuck did he bend like that? And he also had a really deep, like, cut gash, like, behind his ear that was, like, you could see bone. Like, it was, like, really, really deep. Yeah. Now, poor Ludmila, she had a really rough go of it. She also had broken ribs that had been crushed by that same force, like that was like compared to a car crash. She had a broken nose so bad that her nose actually like inverted into her face. She was missing her tongue, her eyes, and her lips, and all of the tissue on her face.
What?
So it was not a good scene. Once again, there's pictures of that if you're interested in seeing it. I saw it without my consent in one of the sources. It just appeared on my screen and I was like, wow, that's disgusting. but that, the whole flesh off of the face and the eyeballs and the tongues and everything missing is kind of typical for animals to eat.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, so it's kind of really easy to hear this and be like, oh my god, they had these crazy injuries where they lost their eyeballs and their nose and their tongues and everything, but they didn't. Like, that stuff happened after
especially
they died.
Especially from birds and stuff.
Yeah, and they were face down in a creek. Mm-hmm. So fish, things right. that live just in the soil, like, were just nibbling away at their flesh and their face.
I wonder what animals were in Russia around that time.
I don't know. Let's look it up. Okay. Animals found in the Ural Mountains. Ural Forest, which is the mountain that they were on, are inhabited by elk, brown bear, wolf, wolverine, fox, lynx, squirrel, and sable.
Well, I wonder what sable is.
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
It's like a little chipmunk.
Valued for its fur. Well, I sure hope they're not murdered for their fur.
Oh!
Are they adorable? Oh my god, shut up. That looks like Albert. That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I know.
It looks like he's wearing a little bandana around his neck.
Know.
Oh my god, I think I'm in love.
Oh.
I mean, if he had to eat them to survive.
That's fine.
I don't care. Good
he's
for
adorable.
Him.
He's adorable.
He was here before we were here. This world is his, and I love him.
Wait.
Let me see him
he
again.
He only weighs 2.5 pounds.
Shut up.
A male. A full adult male.
That's so cute. You could literally just grab him.
Yeah.
Scoop him up and pet him. That's so cute.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wow,
I really hope they're not taken for their fur.
I know.
I hope
they're
not. I hope. Ugh. Not in my world. In my world, they're just left alone in the mountains forever. So, okay. They all had a really bad go of it up there in these mountains. But to top it all off, the hikers' clothes were radioactive. Like the Imagine Dragons song.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what radioactive means. And I'm kind of dumb when it comes to that stuff. Like, I really struggled in chemistry. And all I could think was, like, maybe they'll turn into Spider-Man. I don't fucking know. I Googled it, and it just means that, like, I don't know. Like, they're just high in radon.
Yeah, I mean, don't quote me on this, because I also only got a C in chemistry.
I got a C minus.
But I think it's, like, basically, like, the X-ray, you know, like, when you go and get X-rays, how they put the blanket on you. Like, the little iron apron.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't, it would be a lot of radiation.
But what does... Is that bad for you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why they put the little apron on you.
So you don't...
You don't want any radiation.
Okay, and so their clothes were, like, radioactive.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that means...
What causes radioactivity? Don't ask me.
I don't either.
Maybe we should have...
Well, because... We'll get into it later of why their... what the theories were, but... I don't know what radioactive means. That's
like Area 51. Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Where all the aliens live? In Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Kardashians went there. I remember that episode very vividly. Anyway, I don't know what radioactive means, but their clothes were radioactive, and their bodies were in conditions that were, quote, similar to the type of trauma that results from the shockwave of a bomb. So, they went through a lot before they died. They had a really, really rough time, and at this point, there are just, like, a lot of questions. Like, everybody has different injuries. Like, what the fuck caused this? What is going on? What caused the panic that they had to slice out of their tent? And what happened to the poor kids? Like, they just were up there in really unfortunate circumstances, and all of their causes of death ended up being ruled hypothermia, but everybody was like, I don't know, man.
I think that's taking the easy way out.
Yeah, and that's how everybody felt, too. Everybody was like, that's I don't know. Like, it just felt weird to everybody. And the lead investigator, when everybody started questioning it, the lead investigator closed the case, and he said no crime was committed because they didn't have any external injuries and nothing was stolen from them. So there had to be no crime here. So he just ruled their causes of death as a, quote, overwhelming force that the hikers were not able to overcome. And then they closed the case and they sealed all the files, and that was it.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. That's literally, like, that was, like, the end of it for a long time. And everybody was like, okay, well, what the fuck? Like,
right.
Obviously something here isn't right. It's the Russian government. People are scared of the Russian government.
The Soviet Union at this time?
Yes. I am not educated enough to know a lot about this. Sure wish I was. I'm not, though. And so I'm not going to say anything about the state of Russia at the time because I have no fucking idea. But I think it was, like, right after... And this might sound really stupid, but I might be right. I think it was, like, right after Joseph Stalin's regime ended. So people were, like, in good moods, but it was still the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think, but I could be completely wrong. Please, nobody quote me on that. But since nobody could get any answers from the government and nobody was investigating it, everybody kind of just, like, came up with their own theories and, like, kind of tried to figure out on their own what happened. But it all came down to that same question. Why do they leave their tent? And why do they cut their tent open? Why did they why didn't they unzip the tent and put on the clothes that they needed to survive? So, the first theory that everybody goes to, the easiest theory that the government fucking loves, is that an avalanche happened. And the group must have heard the avalanche coming because apparently they're loud. And so they were immediately like, oh fuck, we gotta get out of here, slice the tent open, run out of there, but they're not running out of there. They are walking out of there in a single file line. So that part doesn't really check out for me. And also, they weren't in an avalanche zone. That area, not known for avalanches at all.
And I also don't know much about avalanches, but I don't think that they just, like, automatically kind of randomly start like that.
Right on.
I think, like, you know, normally... stereotypically, like, in the movies, it's yelling and mm-hmm. shit like that. But, like, I don't know. Something has to normally trigger an avalanche, I think.
Yeah, you're completely right. And it was really shitty weather that night. So, like, that's what they fall back to. And, like, we're going to talk about more later. Because that's what they ended up falling back to because they were able to simulate it and be like, see, swear, this is what happened. But just doesn't line up for me. So they weren't in an avalanche zone, and their injuries weren't consistent with an avalanche. Like, what the fuck?
Right,
like, how, like, and their tent didn't look like it had been in an avalanche. It looked like it had been under some snow, but that they expected because it was January in Russia, February mm-hmm. in Russia. Like, they didn't, nothing lined up with an avalanche.
Do you know if the tent was cut on, like, the side, like, facing up the mountain?
Going down the mountain.
Okay.
It was cut, yeah, so they were kind of, like, up against, they dug themselves into kind of, like, a little, like, hill.
Yeah.
And they pitched their tent there. So up against one side was, like, kind of, like, a wall of snow, but it was, like, a very firm wall of snow. Like, they knew what they were doing. They were really experienced hikers. Like, they did that to be safe from, like, other falling snow. Yeah. And then when they cut the hole out, they cut the hole going down the mountain. So their injuries aren't consistent with an avalanche. So it's just kind of like, what the fuck? And this only really explains why they left the tent. It doesn't explain anything else at all. So the second theory is katabatic wind. A katabatic wind, according to the internet, I googled katabatic wind and it says that it is a very strong wind that goes down a mountain that picks up speed really fucking fast because of the force of gravity, and it just like creates hurricane-like conditions and it becomes really, really messy really, really quick with literally no warning. So it's like pretty much, it's kind of like what you picked. Like, I looked up videos of it and it looks like what you think an avalanche looks like. Like, okay. It's just a lot of wind picking up, going down a mountain, and it's picking up snow along the way, and it's just like super messy. And it gets really, really fast just going down the mountain. And like I said, it's like hurricane like conditions. And so they didn't really have any warning at all. So that would explain why they cut the tent open, because if it started and they were like, oh fuck, we gotta get out of here, they just slice it open. And some winter hiking experts said that in these kinds of cold conditions, your clothes are like completely frozen and it kind of takes a long time to put them on. So like, I guess that makes sense when you think about it. Like, it's hard to put on a stiff jacket. It's hard to pull on stiff boots.
Yeah.
I feel like,
but they shouldn't have been not clothed in the first place.
You should have had your clothes on. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the experienced hiker, so maybe not, but like, why were you not clothes?
Even if they didn't have their hiking clothes on, they should have had some sort of pajamas on of sorts.
Right. Like, it's really weird.
There's just no way you were. I mean, what?
Like, butt-ass naked.
Yeah, they said an average of 2 degrees.
Yeah,
that's 5. That's cold.
Yeah, like, that's freezing. Even if you're in a tent with 9 other people, like, yeah, you're cold.
You're cold. And if you're inside put your the fucking house, clothes you're on. Cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, this man said it could take him up to 5 minutes to put on one boot, and so, like, if there was a katabatic wind, that's just, like, not an option. So they wouldn't have had time to put their clothes on that they should have had on in the first place. So that would make sense as to why they cut out of the tent. So then his theory was that after the first two had died at that little makeshift fire that they made, the rest took their clothes and then maybe, like, were trying to run back to the campsite to get more clothes. And that's when they died. But then the ones who survived that, the four who were found later, the ones who survived that, probably just were like, okay, we just need to build ourselves a shelter and we need to just try to survive this. And then what they think might have happened was that their shelter made of snow collapsed on them. And that explains their crushed chest and like that injury. But I don't know about that because
we've built an igloo before and it's not that heavy.
And they said the force of a car crash.
Yeah.
And like, and
that's not certainly snow, just, you know,
yeah,
in igloo form.
I know snow is like dense and heavy and stuff, but I also think a lot of that snow got there after they died. And
yeah,
the force of a car crash, I just don't think could happen from snow. So that one I also don't know about. But like, I can see that theory making sense and like that being an answer to some people of like, okay, yeah, that timeline makes sense. The two people die by the fire. They take their clothes. That's why they were naked. So then they go back. They try to go back to the campsite to get more clothes, but they don't make it there. So then the ones who do make it try to just make a campsite somewhere, but they end up just not surviving.
I wonder if there is like if they could track the individual footprints. Like, I know you said they stopped however many yards or whatever.
I think they had a hard time seeing them.
Okay.
Like, I think that was part of the investigation is, like, they wanted to, but because of all the snow that had fallen, yeah, there just wasn't really
anything
tracing of them. Yeah. Okay. So, the third theory is that the Russian government was testing weapons in the mountains at this time.
Oh.
Yeah. This is really popular because people love a government theory.
Yeah. And, like, especially with Russia.
Exactly. Like, and we were in the peak of the Cold War at this time. It was 1959. Yeah. Like, I won't lie, for a long time I thought the Cold War meant that we battled about the weather, but it doesn't.
Nope.
We didn't battle about anything, which is how I think all wars should be. We should just be really petty with each other, be really tense and on edge, be like, bitch, if you do it, I'm going to do it. And then nothing happens. I kind of like that. I think it's fun. Anyway, a popular theory was that the hikers were just like in a weapon testing zone. People were like, it could have been like nuclear bombs, like nuclear weapon testing. But the government immediately stepped into this one, obviously. And they were like, hell no, which sounds like something that a guilty government would say.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because like they, I mean, I don't fucking know. Because there was also parachute mines being tested around this time, which parachute mine, I had no idea what it was. It's pretty much just a bomb that explodes in the air instead of underground, which like, why do these things exist? You know, yeah. Like why, who thought of that one? Like,
right. How?
Have you gotten therapy yet, sir? Right. Like, why are you so angry? But anyway, they were actually being tested by the government at this time in this area. But of course, once again, the government was like, no, it didn't happen that night. But everybody's like, why the fuck were their clothes radioactive? Like a nuclear bomb would have done that. And like weapons would have done that, but like what the fuck? The government was like, yeah, we're not testing parachute mines at that day, like shut the fuck up. Yeah. That's not the truth. And everybody was like, okay, because the radiation, there's just no explanation for it. Like there's literally no explanation for it. A lot of people go to like aliens, which the only there's no evidence that it was aliens, but like the only thing that those people claim is like these injuries are so weird, and they claim that it was unhuman and it was an unnatural force, and like it had to have been aliens. And I believe in aliens, but I don't think aliens had anything to do with this,
right?
So yeah, just the whole radioactivity, that part's weird. And like their bodies had been like orange, like bright orange, and their hair had turned gray from all the radiation in their bodies. Like at their funerals, they looked weird. And everybody was like, these people look fucking weird.
Just tinted orange though, right? We're not talking like orange, like bright orange.
They, I mean, it was kind of described as like a glowing orange.
Okay.
Like, I didn't see pictures.
I would assume like a light, a pastel highlighter.
Yeah. Like, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean,
like jaundice, but orange.
So the whole theory with the, like Russian government weapon testing is that maybe they heard explosions and they like freaked the fuck out. And that's why they cut out of the tent and were like, what's going on? But it still doesn't, I don't know. The part that I always get weirded out by is the single file line. Why were they being so cautious about how they stepped? Like,
I would really like to know the time of day.
Me too. I think it was later in the day. Like, I think it was like more towards dinner time, because that's around the time their journals stopped. And the ham, yeah.
But like another thing is if it was an animal, why would the ham still be there?
Yeah, like it would have been eaten.
Yeah.
And why wasn't that eaten like before they were found? Like, that was sitting there for like 6 days.
Yeah.
Just kind of crazy. Actually, like 20 something days, because they went missing the second and they weren't found till the 26th. Crazy. But the theory is they heard the explosions, they freaked out, and then they maybe got lost going back to their tent and then died from the elements. But everybody was like,
I don't like that.
No, yeah. Like, it just didn't fit people's ideas of what had happened. So the fourth season, nope.
The
fourth. That's not season what I one. Meant to say.
We are in season one.
The fourth theory was something called infrasound, which, like y'all know, I don't know science at all, but my best explanation is that the wind kind of just like moves around the mountain and kind of like forms a vortex and like just keeps circling the mountain, and then it like creates a sound that you can't really hear, but it like incites panic in people. Like, you know the sounds that you play like that you can't hear, but they're supposed to get rid of mosquitoes, or like the sounds that
you play. Yeah, like the little dog whistles or whatever.
Yeah, like the sounds like your grandma can't hear. Yes.
Yes.
It's kind of something like that just you can't really hear, but it drives you crazy, and it just incites panic in people, and it makes people like physically uncomfortable. It makes you just feel really distressed. It makes you really anxious, and you just kind of like lose all sense of logic. So if something happened where they were like, we got to get the fuck out of this tent, and they just cut it open, were like, get me out. And then they were walking away. And as they started walking away from the sound, maybe they kind of came to and were like, okay, I feel better. Like, that was really weird. What the fuck just happened?
Mm-hmm.
But then they were lost and they had no idea where they were or how to get back to the campsite. So it was just kind of like, then they died out there. And so that one's pretty weird. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
It's a little far-fetched.
It is. I don't know the kind of conditions that have to happen in order for this kind of like wind to happen.
And make that sort of sound.
Yeah.
Almost like a hypnotizing sound.
Yeah. I feel like it's almost kind of like, what kind of like elements have to be happening in order to mm-hmm. like make the sound, like what kind of weather conditions. Yeah. And like, I don't know if you can like predict how it happens or if you can tell if it happened or not. Like, so I don't know if that one.
Because like, I mean, sometimes around here in the wintertime, you know, you can hear the wind.
Yeah, the snow. For sure.
But it would have to be like that times a thousand, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In order to like hypnotize you like that.
Wind makes like, I remember being like freaked out and spooked by the sound when I was young because it sounds like a ghost. And so it'd always mm-hmm. be like, whoo. And I'd be like, what the fuck's going on outside? So it had to be like something kind of crazy. I don't know. The fifth theory is that it was like a Yeti or it was the native Manzi people who lived on the mountains. The abominable snowman. I just want to get this off the freaking table because there was a group of native people. We've talked about them. They're really protective of their land. They're called the Manzi people. And there are theories that they kill the hikers, but the theories are for no fucking reason at all. Mm-hmm. The Manzi people are not violent at all. They have no history of violence. They just are protective of their land. Like I said, they just do shrooms. They have rituals and they have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. They didn't kill these hikers. Like
yeah.
they are getting dirt thrown on their name for no fucking reason. Like they didn't do anything wrong. They have nothing to do with this. They're amazing moving forward. The Yeti theory, people were like, this obviously had to have been Bigfoot. Like, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
Because what else would it be? I mean, like, you're out.
I agree.
Like, you're in the wilderness. And it was a supernatural or unnatural, like, superhuman force. It had to have fucking been Bigfoot. And the Discovery Channel did, like, this whole special.
No.
Yeah. They did, like, that. Like, you know, when you turn on the Discovery Channel, like, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's that.
Like, that kind of shit. They did that about this case. And they, like, looked into how it had to have been a Yeti or something like that. Because what else would it have been?
Right.
And that was their only evidence. So yeah, that's pretty much all they have for it. But do you remember that avalanche theory that we talked about and we had already like debunked?
Yes.
That is the theory that the Russian government decided to settle on.
Okay.
Yeah. And according to them, this case is solved and closed, but we will get to that after one last smoke break. So, this motherfucker named John Haume, H-A-U-M-E, he was the head of a snow avalanche simulation place.
Okay. Interesting.
He was watching the movie Frozen, like the Let It Go Frozen.
Yeah.
And he was like, damn, that is some good avalanche simulation. I want to figure out who did that, and I want to talk to them because I need to simulate some avalanches.
Okay.
So, this motherfucker is, like, in contact with Disney, and he uses the animation codes from the movie Frozen, and he simulated an avalanche in that area that the campers were, and he, like, did all the conditions that were happening that night, and he concluded that the avalanche could easily break people's ribs and skulls.
Interesting.
Which, the way he said it, it sounded almost kind of comforting. He was like, oh, easily. And I was like, oh, good. Wait, that's not good. It
yeah.
is what maybe killed them. But also,
where are their eyes and hands?
Yeah, where are their eyes? Where are their hands?
Where are her lips and tongue?
And it, that doesn't line up for me. Because then that would have to mean that the avalanche happened, and the four that were found last were swept away first in the avalanche. That's what that theory says. Or that theory says that the avalanche landed on their tent, and then they just had to get out of their tent. They had to cut out of their tent because it was the only way out, which would make sense as to why they would cut out. But why didn't they take anything with them? The avalanche already happened, and an avalanche isn't going to just stop on their tent.
Yeah.
Like, the avalanche is going to keep fucking going and bury them under
no.
it.
I think that they definitely died of some sort of other cause.
Me too.
And then the avalanche happened, and maybe that's when their ribs were broken.
Same.
But I feel like they'd be more mangled than just...
Yeah.
Like broken legs, broken arms.
The case was reopened and it was reinvestigated in 2019 on its, I think it was like the 60th, I don't know math, but it was one of the anniversaries, 50th, 60th. They reopened it. And in the summer of 2020, the lead prosecutor was, he concluded that the deaths were due to hypothermia, disorientation, and an avalanche. That was the conclusion. And the case was closed. Like, that's literally, yep, that's it. Like, that's all has been said about it. And a lot of people are pissed about how they concluded the avalanche because they just had one guy be like, yeah, that could happen. And, like, that was it. So that annoys a lot of people. I, like, got deep into Reddit on this. And a lot of people have, like, logical theories, but there's always that one, but this part doesn't make sense. Like, in every single theory that you're like, wait, that could be it, there's always one that's like, oh, but wait, there's this part that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, like, this one guy had a theory that was, like pretty logical. Like, maybe a large thing of snow fell on their tent, or it was, like, dumped on their tent. Don't really know how he explained it, but I don't get science and weather. So it was, like, some snow fell on their tent, and they had to get out of there, but they couldn't get out of the front. They couldn't get out of the zipper. So they had to cut out. But then why didn't they take anything? Why did they leave their food, their warm clothes, everything? Why did they leave that all behind?
Yeah. And again, why were they not wearing it to begin with?
Yeah. It's all just, like, constant, but wait. Like,
where's the radiation from?
Yeah. Like, none of it makes any fucking sense. I don't know. And so there's always just going to be, like, questions. A lot of people are like, maybe they were on drugs and they just kind of went crazy, but the autopsy didn't show any, like, drugs in their systems or anything that. Yeah,
that's pretty far-fetched.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, like, fall back on, like, the catabatic wind and, like, the weird sound that that would produce and stuff like that. And I don't think that them being naked, like, some of them being naked was the paradoxical undressing. I do think that after they died, the other people would take their clothes. Mm-hmm. Because, like, it's really fucked up. It's really demented. It's one of those positions you'd never, ever think about being in. But
you have to do what you
gotta do. Yeah. Like, when it comes down to it, it's like, okay, well, now we're gonna take the clothes off of my dead friend and put them on to mm-hmm. stay alive for a little bit longer. Shitty, shitty situation to be in. But a lot of people are really, really avid about the fact that there was absolutely no avalanche at all. Some people think that, like, since the bodies who were really crushed were found in a ravine, that maybe, like, they fell into a ravine and that crushed their bodies. But that is not the pressure of a car crash.
No.
Like, falling into a ravine. I get it. Okay? A bad fall.
Yeah.
But that's not the pressure of a car crash. I do think their eyeballs being all cut up and everything is more, or not cut up, but their eyeballs being gone and their tongues being gone and everything, I think that's from the animals. I think, like, it's not as bizarre as it sounds, but it all just comes back to the question of what the fuck happened in that tent. I would love to hear what everybody else thinks because I literally have no fucking idea. Nobody has any idea, but I think everybody knows a little bit about this case. So if you have any theories that even if they have a little, but this doesn't make any sense, I'd love to hear it because none of it makes any fucking sense. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss. And that's really all I have for you today, so I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your day or whatever kind of day you want to have. I hope you have it. And I'm so excited because next week I will be back with the co-host, and I'm sure Casey's, of course, going to be back on.
Of course.
Because why wouldn't she be?
Whether I'm invited or not.
She'll be showing up, and it's what we want. She'll be invited. But I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your day. I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.